The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Whether you're a pistachio purist who loves the experience of cracking them open, or you love the convenience of no-shell pistachios like myself, Wonderful Pistachios is the perfect healthy snack for when hunger strikes. And there are a bunch of tasty flavors to choose from too, like honey roasted, smoky barbecue, jalapeno lime, and more. Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
See, even though it's a young man's sport, like, since it's not so physical, I'm still a samurai warrior. I feel like I could chop heads off still. I don't feel like the old guy that you just need me on the team for some, no disrespect, but I don't feel like the Udonis Haslam of the rap game. Like, they don't want it with me, you know? I'm still surgical.
We had to fight to get a meal. Yeah, wrongfully accused. We had to fight to get the pills. That's why we write to get a deal. He on the team, he gotta eat, you know. Despite your skills, fat. Keep it riding for the fam. You gotta light the wiggin' wheel straight up. Look in the pass bag, work up in the trash bag. I'll pass a lie to take the test before I pass class. Yeah, and my family needed bread. I had to come correct. That's why I keep airing it out like I just passed gas.
I'm excited about this one.
Yeah?
This next guest, this is the culture.
Welcome, Jada.
Thanks for having me. It's an honor, I'm pleasured. I'm a big fan of the show and, you know, to finally get my chance to sit here, kick it with you guys, it's a beautiful thing.
This is so surreal for me as a New Yorker. I mean, as a hip hop fan, yes, but as a New Yorker, this is even more surreal. I mean, your songs were the soundtracks to so many memories. So I want to do something with you. I have one of my favorite verses. I want to see if you can finish it. I know you can finish it, but I'm just going to start it. All right. I'm not cocky. I'm confident. So.
You tell me I'm the best. It's a compliment.
Ooh, bars.
Bars. Listen, when I think of you, I think of a pioneer in the direct relationship between hip hop and sports. I mean, I go back to the Allen Iverson commercial, Reebok. I feel like that was the jumpstart of that relationship in terms of the business aspect. Obviously, hip hop artists were always rocking with athletes and athletes were always rocking with hip hop artists, but it was the first time we saw it on the screen like that. It was the first time we saw it in a commercial revenue space. And now fast forward, you see Lil Baby and Ja Morant recreated that for Beats. I mean, go back to that moment with AI. You said that AI, you know, brought the hood to basketball essentially. What was that like?
I think me growing up, I played all sport. I played basketball, football, baseball. So he was just a, you know, Allen Iverson was, I could remember sitting in my man's living room watching his Georgetown, you know, watching him play in Georgetown. So I was already a huge fan of his. So when they brought the opportunity to me, shout out to Steve Stout, shout out to Trackmasters, Rough Riders, everybody that, you know, brought the opportunity, it was like, coming here on the show, I'm like, word? He want to sit down with me to talk about doing the spot? So once I met him, you know, he was super down to earth. He was a stat. He like, yo, you one of my favorite rappers. I want to do this. We're going to do it. Got the beat, made it happen. I didn't know right then that it would be a timeless commercial spot that opened up, you know, kind of paved the way for everything that came after that. You know, 50 Cent, G Unit, and Hove, the S-Doc Carters, and all of that came after that. So for me to be able to do that initial commercial with Allen was an honor. It just shows how sports and hip hop go hand in glove, you know.
I love that question because really, like, if we had to create a theme for this particular episode, it would be culture.
Oh, for sure.
And when you think about culture, you think about timeless. You think about the culture sets the trends. The culture sets the fads. But the culture is the culture. Everybody else is just following it. So you going back in time, talking about AI in this particular moment, right? Now you fast forward how many years later?
What, 20 maybe?
Plus.
So I guess my question for you would be, you know, do you know your place in culture? And if you do, what is culture? Because everybody talks about culture. So do you know your place in culture, and what is culture?
I would say as far as my place is just to keep striving and educating. You know what I mean? I have 5 kids that I have to educate, but it's just any youth that you come across, or anytime you can give somebody some game or give them some wisdom, I feel that's my job, you know what I mean, as an individual. But I don't know what my place, you know what I mean? Just to do what I do as well as I can do it is my place in the culture. But
hold on,
for me.
Time out. Let me stop here. Peck, what's your place in sports?
What's your place in sports?
At the cornerback position, what's your place?
I was top 20, I think, of all time.
I say that, and I'm gonna throw it back to you, but like, as athletes, like, we know our place. And I don't know, like, artists, do y'all think about that? Like,
this is a great segment, because in hip hop, it's not, you see, like, the other corners and D-backs that come after you. It's a certain respect level that's there, and it's homage. They had to study your stats and look at your film. Now with in this culture of music and the climate where we at, there's so much money being created and given to these young cats that some of them don't care. Mm. And that's the only one of the frictions that I have with the music game, because I love how it's evolving. I love how everything's happening, but sometimes I see some of them that don't actually care about those that came before them. And that's hurting the culture, because just the knowledge of knowing dudes that played that position before you would help enhance what you're doing.
Right.
I think it's also different too, because like for athletes, you guys have stats to kind of help rank who's where.
They got stats too now.
Because everybody don't get the last this
In month. Artistry, though, like, sometimes your numbers aren't as important as your relevancy, as your impact.
That's a fact. You know what I mean?
It's different.
The analytics in music don't add up to the impact that you had on the culture as far as how sports, how they go, every, you know, the numbers, your tackles, your interceptions, what you did over the years. It still don't have nothing to do with what you was as a player, because there's some things that don't get jotted down. But in a music culture, besides just actual sales, that's really the only thing.
Awards.
You know what I mean? Sales, awards. But then you got a whole thing where they boycotted the Grammys. And some years, if a certain artist say, we ain't rocking with the Grammys, then everybody ain't rocking with the Grammys. So it fluctuates. But there's some of your favorite artists that don't have no Grammys, that never went platinum.
Absolutely.
And that's the culture. That's the culture, because what you just said is the culture. Because it's a lot of guys that's, Jets, cornerback, what's his name?
Darrell Revis.
Yeah, Darrell Revis might have been a better player than me, but he ain't the culture. I'm the culture.
Oh,
you get what I'm saying? Man. Hold on, let me get through. Ain't nobody calling Darrell Revis say, hey man, I need you. What? He can't relate to the culture.
He is the Allen Iverson of football, and people don't give him the respect that he's due.
I done did it all. I done did everything except been to the White House. Everything. You
wanna go? We still got time, Pat. Don't worry. Hey,
whatever you name. I'm talking about the bad, the good. I done laid them down. You get what I'm saying? I done picked them up. I done did it all. But, like, I'm not saying that to be boosting or bragging, but I'm trying to give him his flower. He is the culture. Because it's a lot of that might have hit songs and this and that, and don't even get the tour.
So, Pat, is that a key stat then? Because we're talking about what you just posed. Like, it's hard.
Either you got it or you don't.
Because, like, sports is stats, it's statistics. So is that a key stat, like touring? Because that tells you a lot who rock with you.
I would say relevancy. I would say See, even though it's a young man's sport, like, it, since it's not so physical, I think I could, I'm still a samurai warrior. I don't feel, I feel like I could chop heads off still. I don't feel like the old guy that you just need me on the team for some, no disrespect, but I don't feel like the Udonis Haslam of the rap game. Like, you, I'm just there to help.
Mentor,
even though I'm there to mentor, I still, they don't want it with me. I, you know, I'm still surgical.
So my question is, what then, why aren't you chopping heads off then? Because as an athlete, what happens is the process, it gets longer, right? Like the hours you got to put in to be great or maintain that greatness or that level of performance, it's longer. Like my warm-ups are longer. My recovery period is longer. The attention to detail got to go way up. So I don't know if it's like that when it comes to music. If you're like, damn, I'm tired of being in the studio. But if you're saying—
it's different. It's the, it's the texture of music. It changed totally from the way I came in. And I can still do it, but music is is faster now. You know what I mean? And I didn't come from microwave. I came—
What do you mean by faster? Like,
it's even to the point you don't have to mix a record. If you come with something that you feel is a hit, as soon as you make it in the stool, you can send it right out. And it can catch fire and never get mastered.
Right.
Until down the road after, you know what I mean? It's very fast, like right from your crib, upload.
And you think that the industry has lost something because of that?
Yeah, it's losing substance to a certain degree because the whole thing happened over when the whole digital wave came in, the music industry didn't get on board right away. So they had to make all that revenue back. So now instead of artist development, they're looking for artists that's already developed. You know what I mean? And sometimes that's that can go left or right.
I think it's also a conversation of longevity. I think artists now are gonna struggle with that longevity factor because you talk about Jada, right? And I mean,
you nailed it. With
he could never
don't
drop.
Tell her that.
He could
don't
never. He could never drop another single, album, tour ever again. But his impact, your impact on hip hop and especially New York culture, is set in stone, and it will continue. You talk about DMX is the same way, and I think because now it's a lot easier. When I say easier, it's not like I can freestyle and rap, so I don't want anyone to come at me.
No, no,
but it's just less from impactful. Being,
from the outside looking in, it is easy.
Yeah.
And another thing, since, you know, athletes and rappers have such a comparison, one thing that the music, hip-hop industry lacks is no union. There's nobody to repy besides your managers or your staff or the people in your circle. There's no real representation of artists, you know what I mean? There's nowhere that goes and there's nobody to fight for you besides whoever you have. And that hurts a lot of artists too, because this game is built off talent and illiteracy. They don't want you to, they want talented young dudes and producers that don't know the business.
What would you tell a young artist right now that's, like you just said, just blow it up overnight, just put it out and selling
millions
of
records. Try to learn the business as much as you can, because down the line it's gonna bite you in the ass. If they throw a bunch of money in your face and this and that, make sure you got your T's and your I's dotted.
I mean, you know that from firsthand. I mean, that
we had to learn. We caught it quick.
And Bad Boy and that whole, I mean, you experienced that firsthand in the trenches.
Well,
you maneuvered
different
that.
Individuals. The locks, you know what I mean? We went to college. People don't know that. We all went to Westchester Community College at the same time before we got the actual Bad Boy deal. So we came from good homes. We had good parents. We was fortunate to have good parents that stayed on us. To, you know, you're going to do that street, but you're going to make something and learn some of it before you just enter this world of music.
Speaking of the Bad Boy thing, how did y'all force y'all way out of that deal? Puff locks up everybody. How did y'all do that?
The culture. Now we're talking about the culture, because when we had the situation, we knew that we couldn't win financially. In litigation, in court, the little bit of pennies we had at that time would have been gone after two court dates. So we sat down like, yo, this could be, it could go all wrong, or the only power we got is the street. You know what I mean? We do have the street behind us, so we gonna take this route and we gonna risk it all. But you know what I mean? We gonna do it together, and we push the button, and through the grace of God, the streets, and you know what I mean? Shout out to Diddy also, because he could have played much harder ball than he played, and we could have just
been shelled. Y'all go in there with
forever.
The baseball bat?
Yeah, no, like, yeah, take us back to that moment. You don't got to give too much. We know we can't give too much, but like when you say, real quick, playing for the Denver Broncos, right? Because mm-hmm. I can kind of relate to it a little bit.
Oh, God.
Here we go.
Because like, listen. This is how, look, Josh McDaniels come in, and he like, yo, I need to see more of you. I don't know if you can play in my system or if you can play at all. This is what he literally told me after 3 years of 100 catches in a row. I'm top five in the league now. So, boom, I step up in the office, and I look at him. I said, look, bro, I said, I'm more established at the wide receiver position than you are as a head coach. And I came with a lot of energy, like, you know what I mean? A lot of energy. Mm-hmm. And so they knew where I was straight from the beginning. So I just want to go back to that moment when you say you press that button, because a lot of athletes, we go real corporate. And I feel like people look at me and they're like, damn, well, B, why he was on this team, that team? You know, the perception. But for me, it was personal. You know what I'm saying? And I played the game and I did the business from a personal standpoint.
Our situation was a tad bit different because we didn't have them seasons with 100 catches. We was hot. We was young whippersnappers. And we didn't, you know what I mean? And once we decided to go against them, it could have went, he had the power to block us from ever putting a song out ever again. We didn't have no leverage, really. Besides the street, we had mixtapes. We had people behind us that knew we or thought we would be, you know, great artists in the future, but we only had a cup of coffee as far as being in the game. So once we like, yo, we gonna go against them. If we gonna do it, let's do it. But just know, it could be stopped real quick. Yeah, we could be working that. Yeah, it could go all the way back.
He ain't telling us though. I'm trying to get in the office or where y'all was at the corner store. Y'all was.
No, we probably was in the studio. We probably was in the stool because that's where we was at.
What was the tactic?
Rough Riders is our manager at the time, which is, they come from the street, but they trying to be corporate at the time. They still building up the whole stable. So they like, y'all go in the room and see what y'all want to do. It's three-man group. Y'all got to decide. Like, y'all got to, and then we'll back y'all. But we ain't going to be at the helm and say, we can't feel for y'all.
Right.
Y'all go in there as three brothers and work it out. And we went in there like, we don't have his money, we don't have his power, we don't have his connections, we'd have nothing but the street.
What is that conversation like as a group though? Because it's hard when you get to a certain point.
I think we were so young.
Yeah.
We just didn't care. We didn't know what I mean. We didn't realize what we were jeopardizing. Yeah.
So at the time now, would you do it differently?
If we had to do it now, probably would do it different because we could have tried to reach out and talk to him and try to do diligent business and close doors and all of that.
And guess what? Y'all wouldn't have got wouldn't what y'all worked. Wanted. It wouldn't have worked. Then you just said the only leverage you had. What do you know? Y'all made the right decision.
Listen, I wanted to ask you this because when you look at hip-hop groups, they don't last. They don't have longevity. How have you guys managed to stay together for two decades? And I know everybody has their solo career and they're doing their solo thing, but the Lox is still together. Y'all still touring together. Y'all still doing music together. Still doing business together.
We see each other a few times a week. We still own the studio. We own a studio together. We own juice bars together. We real brothers. We came in as brothers before, you know, the label didn't put us together. Our moms hang out, you know, rest in peace to Sheik's mom. Our moms hung out with each other. they know each other. We went to school with each other. We already had a brotherhood before we even went to any record label. So one of the oaths that we made was, no matter what happened, if successful or not, we're not gonna let none of these executives break up what we already got. You know what I mean? We going to the grave with this brotherhood.
But how difficult was that in terms of managing the egos, especially, you know
what I mean? Just like a fan, any family. We don't agree on everything, but we go in the room, curse each other out, slap each other around, whatever it is, and leave it inside that room. And when we come out, that's what it is. There's no end. We had years of fixing situations before social media, before this monster of a handheld device was involved. So since they came out, it doesn't control us. We still handle it the same way before it was all of this technology, and just go in there, iron it out, and leave it in there. And we also use all of the other groups that go through stuff as our motivation to never do none of that. No Twitter rants, no throwing your brother under the bus on public platforms, no, none of that. You know what I mean? And it's working.
I mean, you can also see extremely successful solo career after a very successful career with a group, and it didn't break that relationship. A lot of times, you see it in girl groups also, and obviously men and women are different, but somebody goes solo, they have an extremely successful career, and that affects the group. I mean, that didn't happen. They did the Kith New York Knicks campaign as a group, which I love. As a Knicks fan, I caught that jacket. I have it hanging in my closet. How about them Knicks?
No doubt.
Listen, but it's beautiful to see. So, I mean, is there a secret to it besides just, you know, being a family and growing up together? Because sometimes groups aren't formed like that. They come about a different way. What is the secret to it?
Just keeping it a buck with each other. Just keeping it 100. Sometimes I'm going to go off course. If, as my brothers, you got to pull me back. Tell me you wildin'. You know what I mean? This ain't right.
Did you ever have a moment where they came to you and said, Jaden, you got these hits, you becoming the Beyonce of the group, you got a big head?
We can't use that analogy on this show, Omar. Stop it.
I mean, I never got to that situation, because any success, we keep it. Any win for any of the group members is a win for the team. So if I'm bubbling and the heat is on me, I'm bringing them right along. So they gonna get some of the bag, they gonna catch the light, they gonna be on tour, they gonna be right there. It's not like when it's somebody's turn, they just isolating. You know what I mean? We manage to, everything is for the cause of the group.
And I'm sitting here thinking about all the stuff that you guys are saying, the culture and this and that, and some key questions popping up. I hope I ain't getting off topic, but I hear the loyalty, I hear the culture. I can tell that you love her. I can tell the people that you're around is a tight-knit circle. Biggie, I know he was a big part of you. How was that when he passed? Where were you?
Big was like the battery in our back. Coming from Yonkers, we rhymed or rapped with a chip on our shoulder, because, you know, growing up listening to the radio, they shout out the Five Boroughs, then they shout out Mount Vernon and New Rochelle, which you gotta go through Yonkers, they get to Mount Vernon, and they would skip us and shout out Heavy D and them and Brand Newbie. And so we like, what about YO? So we would always write with that chip on our shoulder to let the world know that it's some real talent here. So once we got signed to Bad Boy, and it's a funny story, because we Puff put us on a song with Big before we met him. And his verse, he's going at us on the whole verse. But then when we actually get to physically meet him, he like, yo, I'm glad y'all down with me. We gonna do some big things. Welcome to the Bad Boy family. And I think that was the battery. Like, yo, Big telling us we nice. We unstoppable, yeah. So after that, we caught some type of electricity, and it just started flowing. As far as our first time going to LA is when he got killed. So it was crazy for us. We was at the party. We was there. We was actually mad at Puff for some reason. And we over in the corner, ice grilled up, not really having no fun. We go over to him. I know everybody sees the famous picture with Stevie J, Puff, Big sitting down with the cane and the shades. We went to him. He like, yo, what's wrong with your face? Shake that off. You know what I mean? We like, something happened with Puff. We'll handle that when we get home.
That's what my Big
single,
say?
Yeah, shake that off. We had my single release. Fix your faces.
What was the release? What single?
It was Hypnotized. He gave us some good green. He gave us a bottle of Don P. Said, go over there, enjoy yourself, and we gonna fix this when we go home. We ain't, we don't need none of that kind of energy. So we did just that. We went over there, shook it off. You know what I mean? We chilling. Then everybody left. It was a house party. We was going to a mansion party that Heavy D was throwing. Clue was DJing, and that's where everybody was transitioning to. Then we got there, he never made it. He started whispering around the party. You know, they said Big got shot. Then we went to the hospital, see the yellow tape around the SUV. So that was kind of traumatizing to us as our first time going to LA on a label trip, and that happened, and it was crazy. You know what I mean?
So you just said something really powerful. Said traumatizing. Like, how'd you cope with that? How'd you deal with that? I'm big on mental health.
This is still beepers. So my beepers going crazy. My mom is calling me, yo, they're saying on the radio, Biggie died. So now we gotta deal with the now we just gotta see how we gotta get out of here. We just sitting in the hotel room in Cali, waiting for somebody from the label to tell us when we gonna leave, or you know what's the next instructions was. And when we finally made it home, the funeral arrangements, we found out all of that. That's when we made We Always Love Big Papa. We just wanted to, we made that with the intentions of just for Junior Mafia and Little Caesar, like a song for them to play at the wake or the repast. Wasn't thinking about selling it or putting it out publicly. We just wanted to, that's all, as you know, lovers of Big, being close to Big, we wanted to do something for him. So we made that song. Then he ended up doing Missing You. And for a while it was just like, I think he said anybody could have got off the label if they want. Right then, like if you wanna, whoever don't wanna be here right now, you could leave.
This is what Diddy said?
Yeah. I think we had a meeting, we had a big meeting where if you wanted to leave or you didn't feel comfortable, you could have left at that time.
Was that because they felt like there may be repercussions?
I'm not sure if they, I don't think it was because they thought it was gonna be like a
war.
A massacre or a war. Yeah. Just, I'm not even actually sure why he said it, but I remember we did have a meeting. And then as, you know, coming from the streets and being real dudes, we didn't want to leave at that time. Like, right. We felt like we got to stand on front line and hold the label down, help them out, and, you know what I mean? Us and Mace.
You spoke about Biggie and how traumatic that was. And there's been a lot of traumatic deaths in hip hop involving violence of some sort, specifically guns. I mean, Nipsey Hussle, we talked Takeoff.
Pop Smoke,
obviously. I mean, and at the height of, I mean, the very beginning of the height of
King
his career.
Vaughn.
What is that like experiencing it and now seeing it as an OG in the game, and you're seeing this new wave of hip hop artists coming up and their lives being taken just as short?
It's sickening. It's disgusting to see some of these young kids losing their lives over some of this stuff. I think it's preventable. They need more therapy. They need more interventions. They need more chopping it up with the OGs. But sometimes it's hard. Because like I said, there's so much money being thrown around now. And some of them feel they have more money or as much as the OGs, where they don't have to listen. And that's where the game gets misconstrued. Because some of the older elder statesmen have knowledge that's priceless, and no dollar sign could top some conversations you can get from some of these older guys. You know what I mean?
So before we move on, like, what's, you know, one bit of advice you'll give to this generation coming up you know what I mean, to prevent this.
To not just live for the moment. They don't get caught up in being lit. You got to think about the future. Think about when you're going to be a family man. Think about your kids. Think about your mom. Think about your staff. Think about your crew. Think about yourself and everything you affect when it goes all wrong. You know what I mean?
But let me ask you this question. If I go out and I actually lean into the violence, lean into the that, you know, create the tension and the numbers go up, engagement, right? Like, how do you talk to that person? It's like, I know you are monetizing this, but this is the result. So how do you speak to that person? You know, because that's...
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
You like to watch new stuff, right? Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time. Like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's all new, and it's streaming now on Hulu.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Tricky.
That's what that right there is messing up stuff also, because record labels are being successful off nonsense. And somebody went out, did something stupid, recorded a song about it, and was able to get a lot of streams, and that became a thing with the whole drill. You know what I mean? They actually going out, getting active and doing stuff, and then going to the studio and make a song about what they just did. And that should get nipped in the bud as soon as it got created. But nobody's going to these labels saying they wrong for this. We just blaming it on the kids. So like my brother Stout said, he don't like to just put all the blame on his young artists, because the radio stations are making them the top songs of the playlist, and the labels are still signing. They even got it. They're putting out life insurance on these young kids now.
Wow.
The labels. Because they're gambling on you to do some dumb shit so they can profit after you die. So this is getting ridiculous.
Letter to Big was also such a beautiful, beautiful song. It's one of my favorites. I mean, was that therapeutic to write that as well? Was it a lot of emotion that maybe you kind of ignored and put to the side, and writing that was just...
With me, a lot of my songs is in my head for years and like months prior to whenever you hear them. And I just always wanted to, like, I'm gonna do a letter to Big, and I would process it in my brain, get a couple bars, had to turn into a couple more bars, and when it's time to come out, that's how it comes out.
Yeah. How'd you get that? Say it, Ash, do it.
I don't know. Was that good?
Nah, you got
I don't
a
know
good
if that's good. I've been practicing for years. Yes.
When somebody first heard it, how did we know that was it? Hey, don't you that's you right there. You need to say that. That's
my
your
engineer, Chach. Shout out to my engineer. I think he's from Croatia. He Rough Riders introduced us to him, and he worked with us for years. And I was recording some verses, and before, my voice is so raspy, sometimes got clogged up. I would do that as a tension breaker to clear my throat and my voice before I'm about to do the verse. And never intended on him keeping it. So I do it. I get out to come hear the verse. And I'm like, what's that? He like, nah, you gotta leave that. I'm like, all right. So then I just started doing it and people start loving it. Auntie's coming up to me in the mall. Ain't you that boy that make that sound? And I say, then that just became my signature trait.
Lamar Jackson made the best business decision.
I blame the Ravens for him not going out there. If they wanted him out there, they should have paid him. They didn't pay him, and that's their own fault.
LeBron James is not only a top five active player right now, he's number one.
All right, Brandon, come on.
LeBron James comes in, he makes everyone better.
He's not making that team drastically better with his talent. They're a horrible team. They're constructed horrible. Jesus himself cannot fix that organization. It is a problem.
Athletes are some of the healthiest people on the planet. Adopt a lifestyle with an all-new HOA Plus app.
What's up, athletes? It's your girl, Maya.
HOA Plus delivers daily workout classes with real coaches tailored just for you. We are making it easier to train, fuel, and recover where you are.
You made it.
Live like an athlete. Join the tribe on HOA Plus.
So you said something a little while ago about a lot of your songs are in your head for years. I was watching a clip on Instagram of Kyrie talking about his skills, his handles. He's saying, my handles match my feet work. So like what I'm doing with my handles, it's like all four limbs are working at the same time. And because they don't think that a righty can actually spin this way and that way. So when I go in the lab, like I'm getting 100 shots from here doing this, I'm doing a baseline off of 2 feet, this and that. And that was the first time I was like, man, Kyrie, like, he's sweet. Like, you know what I'm saying? But I'm like, yo, he was talking as if he's Kobe. You know how Kobe talked, right? But he broke down the sweet science of basketball, and it's like, it's just totally different. And you know when you're sitting down with an artist or a genius, their language is different. So can you break down, like, how do you paint that picture of, like, your artistry and how you think? You know what I mean? I know it's hard for a lot of us to follow, but, like, when you say these songs are in your head for years, like, how does this work? What is that toy? What is that pain?
You know how, as an athlete, you got to do two-a-days. You got to make sure you work out and you're constantly on the field or in the gym or in the weight room. As an artist, you got to constantly be in the studio. Now, when you're not constantly there, your mind's still there. So to be the best artist you can be, you got to try to, they say you should try to write a verse a day or a song or, you know, go to the studio, read books. For me, I have so much in my mind as far as my kids, my bills, my itinerary, where I'm still trying to perfect my craft and think of some incredible stuff in my brain that I start being able to put songs in a file cabinet in my brain. Like, and sometime I could get a whole verse with a hook. Sometime I could just get 4 bars and then it'll be there forever to the rest of the pieces come into it. That's how the song Why.
Yeah.
I had Why in my brain for at least 2 years until I ever made it. And I could never actually get the right production for Why, right? And then when everything happened with 9/11, that brought on more questions because I had it before 9/11. But then when that came,
wow.
I started like, this made a bunch of questions that the world,
yeah,
I always wanted to do the song called Why, but I didn't want to have questions that was only seemed like they was tri-state questions or East Coast questions. I wanted it to be something that any part of the world you hear, you like, yeah, I thought it out.
Do you hear who's on the song with you as you're like creating it in your mind? Do you visualize a voice? Like, okay, this is Anthony Hamilton.
It has to get pre-cooked a little until you start putting them other ingredients, like, because even have people don't know that Havoc from Mobb Deep did the beat for Why. That's not, when you think of Hav, you don't think of him doing that type of production.
Right.
Right? So it's all timing with music. Like, he gave me a batch, and I heard that beat. I'm like, this is the song for Why. Like, soon as I actually played it, what I had in the file cabinet came out, and I was able to process it like that. You know what I mean?
When you're describing like what's in your head, you're literally in real time doing this. You seen them doing this?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like you're trying to articulate yourself. You're trying to get it out, but you can't. That's what I'm trying to get out. And I knew it was hard because like Kyrie did such a phenomenal job like describing his artistry. And it was like, whoa. And you just did as well. But as athletes too, right? You can look back and be like, yo, Pac-Man Jones, what makes him special and why he should be in the Hall of Fame is that this locked down the number one receiver, but then went back there, caught a punt, and took it to the crib. The game has never seen that before outside of probably Deion, you and Deion.
Outside of Prime, that's
Prime,
it.
Prime, that's it. So his standard, his greatness is totally different than everybody else. And then you want to throw the culture in it because you talk about, Revis.
Pac is more relevant. Oh, for-
okay, I'll come back to this. You got Chef Danny, what's up?
Hi.
Chef Danny, really quickly, let me introduce you really quickly before you let us know what we're having. So I talked about all of our co-hosts. Chef, thank you so much for joining our show.
Thanks for having me.
Super excited. But look, Chef Danny, stylish, okay, savvy. Sensational.
Sensational.
That's
why you got all the S words.
So look, I'm going to come back to this, what I'm talking about, artistry, right? So yeah. Tell us what we have in right here, but like, this is art as well. Tell us what we have in, and then also talk about the artistry of like food and how it can potentially correlate to like sports, music, right? Like what you do, this ain't just, I ain't, you
ain't
here
no regular pan,
right?
No.
It's exotic.
Not exotic. Now, food is definitely art and entertainment. A lot of people don't understand that chefs are artists within themselves. It's understanding textures, it's understanding the color composition, and also chemistry with the clients that you're with. So whether it's an artist like Jada or you're dealing with an athlete like yourself, you always have to know exactly how to compose the dish with the canvas that you have, which is your plate. So whether I need to balance it out so you're ready to go on the field or ready to go battle a versus.
Okay.
Bringing up the versus.
We had to touch upon the versus.
So whether you're doing that, it's always about giving people the appropriate vibes, you know?
Right. Chef, this is your third time on the show. Like, what's your inspiration? Tell us a little bit more about you, where you're from. You know what I'm saying? Introduce yourself to the audience again.
I love how Omar started eating before she got to introduce the meal. You hear him clanging over there,
me
right?
Me too. Hold on, you give me food. I'm not supposed to eat? Like, I'm just asking.
No, see, me and Omar actually go way back. See, I was serving these red velvet waffles at the strip club. I had a restaurant at the strip club. And like, trust me, Omar and them, they used to come through like real, real late. All the athletes, all the entertainers used to come. The restaurant was more popular than the strip club itself. So there was things that I was serving, like the red velvet waffles, gold chicken wings. Like we had just different things that a lot of people were finding like super Instagrammable. So that's you know, an entertainment side on that too. So people were really attracting to the food more than the strippers, wow. Which actually made me and the owner beef a little bit because
he was taking
everyone
the money. Yeah. He was getting more money than he
exactly.
was getting.
So I mean, your roster, like. Your roster, who you've cooked for, you know what I'm saying, is legendary. A lot of that started right there in that strip club?
No, I actually, my first A-lister was Pharrell Williams.
Can you give us your roster, your top five, like people that you've
You
top five, top five. I'm gonna have to say the president of Ghana. Oprah.
Whoa.
Wow.
Pop that collar in, girl.
Diddy. Okay. Of course, Pharrell. And Beyonce has had my food.
Oh my gosh!
I gotta like throw her in there.
Sensational chef, thank you so much.
No, thanks for having me.
Thank you so much.
Waffles are great.
Thank you.
You never cook for Jada?
I have not.
Technically, she has.
I have not, but yeah.
I'm trying to get him to move to Florida.
Move to Florida. I think that's a great business idea.
That's gonna happen soon.
That's a great business move.
Oh, really? Where? Because, I mean, that first part of the verses, he was
saying. Well, the verses, you were dissing on Dipset because they live in Miami now.
Yeah.
I'm going to move here. I made it where I can move here now.
Let's go and get into the verses then. It was funny because Ashley, when we was in the back, she's like, Jada got damn killed verses. He took over verses. Got all these young kids.
It was the greatest verses of all time.
Yeah,
the greatest verses of all time. It has never reached that. And there have been some good matches. It has never reached
that
same level.
It's not even debatable. The only one I think you could even touch on is the Jamaican one, but the energy.
That was the first, that was the set off.
But the crazy part is, seems like you've been trying to do verses since 2004 when you call out 50.
We gotta dive into that story because I was breaking it down for Pac and in 04 when you guys recorded New York, Fat Joe, yourself, Ja Rule, Kool and Dre on the production. Love Kool and Dre, shout out to them. And they also did a song for G-Unit, 50 Cent, The Game, Hate It or Love It, also recorded in 2004, which was unheard of at the time because they're two beefing, you know, crews and you're recording tracks for the both of them. And I listened to an interview you did, I forget the publication, but you said that you equate hopping on that track with Fat Joe and Ja Rule to starting your beef with 50. Did you think that it was going to ignite a beef when you hopped on the track, or were you like, listen, it's not that deep. It was enough money to go around.
I didn't think he was on that type of time. Like, because it was just a good song.
Yeah. Maybe.
Like I didn't, you know, and I knew Ja for years. I knew Ja since Cash Money clicked. So I didn't know it was gonna piss my man Fifth off.
You didn't know how petty he was?
I didn't know he was just that pissed off at Ja where anybody that did a song with him.
Yeah, that's levels.
You know what I mean? That's another level of anger.
So
it was good.
So I asked the game last season about the pettiest. I was like, where are you at? You got Gilbert Arenas. You got 50.
And Gang.
You got the game, like some of the pettiest people. Is 50 number one as more?
50's by far the top.
He, you know, 50 gonna troll everybody.
I mean, do you not follow him on Instagram?
Right. Yeah.
I mean, if it's trollable, he's gonna do it. Like
Gilbert, he up there too, though.
Oh, no chill, Gil.
Fifth is official though, cause he apologized to Megan. I thought that was dope.
Why did you think that was dope?
Because he was clowning her before, you know, the verdict of the trial.
Right. He basically told her she was lying.
Yeah, he basically said she was lying. So after the, you know, the outcome, as a man, he apologized to her. I think that was solid.
The RICO law about the lyrics. What are your thoughts on that?
I hate it. It's no different. This is our job. If Bruce Willis, whoever was your favorite actor was in court, they're not using this movie when he killed 10 people in court. It's a song. It's art. There's no reason it should be used against you in a court of law. It's music. You know what I mean? Even though some of it might be incriminating, but it's still, where's that? That's like a
where's
gray
the line
area. Yeah, that ain't
art
that's
and
not
reality.
Right. It's not right at all.
So when I said earlier, theme of the show, culture, we talked about culture. Another thing that I want to hit before we let you go is business. But before we do that, because I know this is an important conversation, is there anything else you want to touch on before we move on to business?
Nah, just to any up-and-coming artist, athlete, any young Black, Latino, whatever your ethnic background is, you gotta have that fight in you. You gotta pray. Don't forget to pray, because sometimes these dudes get, you know what I mean? You get so much going on, you forget to pray. Try to keep some good people around you, pray, and try to perfect your craft. That's the only way you really gonna get to the bag. It's not gonna fall out of the sky. It's not gonna come from nowhere. And that's all I really wanna know.
Business. We had this debate, right? Like, one of the things I hate, you know, in this position, on this side now, is when we sit down with someone like you, obviously, your schedule's crazy. Everybody wanna sit down with you. When you sit down with anybody as an interviewer, you know, they're gonna ask you, like, the big questions, and it's usually the same question. Right now, hot, versus. So, like, I'm like, I don't wanna talk about versus. You know what I'm saying? Like, what's our angle? So I was like, if we do it, what's our angle? This, yeah, me and you.
We gotta talk about versus.
Yeah, he wanna talk about versus.
Bro!
So my whole thing is like, look, okay, if you do it, what's the angle? And for me, my angle of it is like, I don't wanna get into the details of it. If y'all wanna do that, y'all can. My thing is the business of it, mm-hmm. right? I wanna know, like, what changed since versus, because, and I can't even describe it, right? But what that did for the culture and what that did for us, we was like, ooh, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? And now maybe y'all can put it into words, but me sitting back, I'm like, yo, OG's in a moment right now. You understand? Now you look at the Kith campaigns, you look at that commercial that you talked about, you know what I'm saying? It's like, now you hear that respect, everybody know, like, damn, like,
it reintroduced you to an audience that may not have known the Locks, Jadakiss.
Right. So can you walk us through, like, the business of it since, like, if you care to do that?
It's like a timeline. After Versus, then very next morning, Ye called, sent a jet. He sent a jet. We went to, flew to Atlanta to the arena, did a song for his last album. And then it was just like a trickle down of opportunities coming left and right. Magazines, Rolling Stones, this and that. Shout out to Fat Joe for Yesterday's Price Is Not Today's Price. The numbers on my featurings, performances, hostings, everything automatically shot up. My old albums shot up on Apple and all of them platforms. Some people, a lot of the young artists called me that next day.
Wow.
That's more than any money that I received or any of that. The next day, a lot of them reached out to me. 21, rest in peace, Dolph, I think Herbo. A lot of the young ones called me though that next day, and that made me smile more than actually winning verses or however you want to put it, but just for them to reach out and just want to kick it and get some game about, you know, changing up some stuff on the show and not using the words and, you know what I mean? That made me feel happy. But just a bunch of opportunities, a bunch of blessings, I would definitely say, financially. And it woke a lot of people up that probably knew and act like they didn't want to know, and some that didn't know and was like, holy cow, like, you know what I mean? So it was a beautiful thing.
I love that. I mean, it's the reinvention that we're talking, but that's what we were talking about earlier, is that there's a difference, and I think that artists now are gonna have a harder time. It's that relevancy, that longevity that has people of a younger generation of artists reaching out and wanting the advice of a Jadakiss, wanting the advice of a Jay-Z.
I think the Versus is a comparison of new media. That's just my opinion. And the reason why I say this is, my brother right here, I was chilling, making good money, you know what I mean? At home, on the couch. When I got a part of I'm Athlete, you know, stock goes up. Like you said, yesterday's price is not today's price. Mm-hmm. So when I'm saying that, I'm giving you your flowers too.
I love you.
Thank you. Thank you. No, for real. You know, smell me. And like he's saying, like, basically, everybody had really wrote certain people off, you know, Stack Five, like, oh, he done did this, he done did Pac, done did this. But once you get a chance to read the whole book and stop just looking at the cover, mm-hmm. I think
it's
more to find out. And I think that's what Versus did. I think this is what I'm Athlete, the platform, is doing for us, the culture. And
can I get my Versus question in, please?
Go.
You and this Versus question.
Listen. What I want to know is, at what point in the performance did you know, like, I got the glow and this is my show and
I mean, I'm
for the
really
record.
Felt like that because we as the Lox rehearsed. I said this several times. We did rehearsals. I think we did 2 rehearsals in the studio. Then we did the sound check in the garden earlier that day. And my man Kay could tell you, riding down to the garden in the Sprinter, I was trying to learn. That's when I said, I think we need to implement this Who Shot Your freestyle somewhere inside the show. But I didn't know when. So when I'm talking to my DJ, he's like, yo, you know I'm going to be far. It's not one of them. Like, we on stage together, and you, like, give me the signal. So we had to get something. That's when I, like, when I say let's make something happen, that's when you drop it. And then in the heat of the, it was like the, you know what I mean, the climax of everything going on, me and Cam arguing. I told him to drop it, and just the grace of the higher powers, it hit, right?
Well, since we here now, let
See,
me.
There you go.
Yeah. Since we here now, look, bruh, it was so disrespectful when P put his foot on who was it?
He was grabbing Cam's leg. P went crazy for a minute. He blacked out. He went pack. He went you and Pack combined for a minute. Because me and Luch is like, I thought it was fun for a minute. Now we calling him, yo, P, we got to go back to the front of the stage. He's not hearing it. Now I'm going over there, we grabbing him. He's like a pit. He's locked on him. I'm like, yo, P, need Luch, grab him. Then Luch had to lift him up and bring him over. But he like, oh, he was going
but,
for
but, a minute. But in that moment, but for real, in that moment, you know, I felt like this at home because you kind of understand, like, you don't touch nobody. Like, did you feel like it could go all the way left in that moment?
Nah, because we spoke to each other. We knew we couldn't blow the bag, and we wasn't going to embarrass the culture on that type of platform and light. And we already go back, so if it was anything, we couldn't handle the difference. So we was really trying to put on a good show for the people.
I was telling the guys a story backstage, you know, heading to the business conversation about Shaquille O'Neal and how he was approached early in his playing career to invest in Starbucks before it was Starbucks. And he didn't, and his reasoning was because Black people don't drink coffee. And he says every time he drives by a Starbucks to this day, he cringes about the amount of money that he could have made. You did not make that mistake because you were in the coffee business. Explain to me why it wasn't alcohol and why it was coffee.
Well, I have skin in the game. My dad basically took care of my family from coffee. You know, he would make it every day. He worked in Maxwell House division. And since 1977, he got 40-some years in coffee. Then he opened his own company, Katora. And back to Versus. After the first Versus I did with Fab when I was Jada drunk, he like, yo, everybody, because he didn't know nothing about it. My kids was over there like, granddad, look at my dad on Versus. So he looking at it and he's reading the comments. They showing him like, yo, y'all better get kids some coffee or some water. He looking like he drunk over there. So the first initial coffee, my dad was like, yo, thinking about making a detox coffee and this, that. But he didn't want to, we didn't like the whole attachment to the Jada drunk thing. So we scrapped that. And then after the other verses with Dipset and all of these opportunities, like this might be the perfect time to launch the Kiss Cafe. So, you know, we brought in some marketing people, got my son, and we made it happen, yeah.
So my question for you is, this is a big conversation with me. I'm an entrepreneur. One, where can we get it? You know what I'm saying?
E-commerce right now, Kiss Cafe Coffee. KissCafe.com.
And this is what I want to do when we have people on this show, especially in this season. As marketers, we got to be super savvy, especially even on YouTube and this new media space that you're talking about. It's like, yo, we got to sit down with certain brands because we want to be able to continue these conversations, pay our people, scale the business, do all of that. But you got to, but if you talk about business, then they get turned off. Right. But what I'm trying to do is kind of normalize it to where everybody understand, like, look,
we got to support each other. You understand? So, like, when you come on, and I want you to feel good about saying, yo, go to here.com, support me. This is what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm employing so many people. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're doing something amazing. We're the first to do this. If I can, you can. So this is a bigger conversation. And everybody listening, I hope, hopefully y'all continue to rock with us. You know what I mean? Understand the why behind what we're doing and how we're bringing others along. But support. Do you feel supported in this industry, in this space? You know what I'm saying? Because, like, when you launch something, people don't understand you birthing a baby. And then when it comes to life, they be like, yo, I'm so proud of you. But do they support? Are they posting?
You got to know who's who and what's what with this. It's a genuine line there, and then there's a bullshit line there. As colleagues and people that came up together, it shouldn't take me, you to call me or DM me a bunch of times to promote something that I see you launching. You know what I mean? If I see you doing something, I should get right on board with it. And with this new media, it turns personal when you don't get that support. So it gets personal. Then people just think they can just text you something and you just supposed to post it or. So it's a gray area with that. But like you said, support is needed. We need more of it in the business space for our people. Like any other thing, you gotta work it. Man. You gotta work it, and then they'll get on board just like Versus.
What's your go-to kind of coffee? Are you an espresso guy, a latte guy, a macchiato guy?
No, my dad does all that. I just need a nice pick-me-up. You know what I mean? We got a medium dark roast, the Beiju. My blend right now I put it up against any Starbucks, any coffee. I put it up against anything, and the product is a good product. It's cost efficient. It's for real coffee lovers, not for coffee snobs. And it's going to do what it does.
All right, so we're going to do our little quick little verses. My man.
Oh, you going to against Jada?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to let the people decide. Like, yeah, this is, he's the champ. If you dethrone him, bro, your numbers is way up. Like, this is a smart business place.
This is not a good business place.
This is very good because if the people rock with you, bro, like, the numbers is crazy. You heard what the numbers did for him.
If you win this versus, that could be your bragging right for the rest of your career.
Then I'm gonna win this versus.
Hey. I just beat Jada in a versus.
Hey, come on, bro. Y'all got a title, my man? Y'all got the cameras ready?
I made this one for playoffs right here. Hold on, watch how I come in. Game over, dog. I'm gone. I'm gone. Ready?
Yeah. I'ma start off with sauce, man. It been sauced up this year. The D runs them both sold. It been killing this year. Had a top five offense.
Yeah.
In the city.
This is hard.
Yeah.
It's hard.
It's hard. Pretty man, lit, yeah. At the top of the list.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Yeah. That's gonna be on man right there.
That's hard.
You feeling that?
Yeah, that's knocking.
No cap.
This is a fixed fight. Yeah, I see Versus. Pac is hitting me with some. Pac, you got some monsters over here, Pac.
Can he go? Can he go?
Yeah, the energy, but I'm listening to the words. He's really saying that.
Right, right. Because I'm gonna be honest with you. You know what I'm saying? What they always say, what? Synonymous.
Oh, athletes want to be rappers and rappers want to be athletes.
Right, so I got to keep it real with my brother. We always have real conversations, like real, real conversations. So I'm looking at him like, yo, bro, like, are we wasting our time or not? You know what I'm saying? Because he could potentially make that move, but.
Nah, that's good. That's better than, that's real substance.
Hey,
that playoff song, though,
you know what I mean?
Is a ticket. That's a ticket.
That's what I'm saying.
That's a ticket.
So all I'm going to say is this. Look, bro, I still want to be a part of it. I would invest. I ain't got a lot to invest because I'm building all of this.
but I'm going to invest. But I feel like y'all need to talk afterwards. If you put Jada...
Me and Kiss already locked in.
Yeah, he got me. Like, he need me on there. It's done deal. You know that.
All right. So I guess that's the show. I just want to say, look, thank you so much, bro. You know what I'm saying? We talked about support. And you don't have to repost nothing. You coming on this show and breaking bread with us is everything. You know what I'm saying? And we going to support you. I feel like you need to... Kelly, can we get with Kiss's team? Every House of Athlete facility we open, the coffee need to be right there.
That's a fact.
You feel me?
Talking, you know what I mean?
I'm saying? And brand, and all of that. Like, make it happen. So, like, thank you so much, man.
Thank you. This
means everything for you to come. You know, you got a busy schedule. Season 4, we up. You know, we feel really good about what we're building. Omar, the super producer. Pac-Man, the real. You realist. You my brother. You know what I'm saying? It don't get no realer than you, bro. Ashley, thank you so much for believing in me and us and the team. Because you could have, and it's the reality. She had the big networks. The ESPNs, the FS1s of the world, the Sports Illustrated of the world to choose from. She came over here. That says a lot. You know, of course, gorgeous, beautiful, all of that, respectfully, but you're brilliant, you're bold, you know, and that means a lot. And I can't wait for the audience to really get to know all of you because it's going to take us way up. Chef Danny, believing in us, you're a star. We already know. Sensational. Omar Kelly, I already talked about you. And Shady, we miss you. Get your ass here. Every Monday, 12 Eastern, SiriusXM, Pandora, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcast, you can listen. You know, make sure you like, subscribe, you download, support us. We're going to be having dynamic conversations. And if it wasn't for you guys, we wouldn't be in this position. But we need y'all support, and we're going to continue to give it back. We got big plans for season 4 and for this platform. Love, peace.
We had to fight to get a meal, yeah. Wrongfully accused, we had to fight to get the pills. That's why we write to get a deal. He on the team, he gotta eat, you know. Despite your skills, facts. Keep it riding for the fam. You got a light that we're getting wheels straight up. Look in the past bag, work up in the trash bag. I'll pass a lie to take the test before I pass class. Yeah, and my family needed bread, I had to come correct. That's why I keep airing it out like I just passed gas.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.